What will be in store for the World Wrestling Federation champion Hulk Hogan in 1987? Many state that they believe this will be the year that a new champion is crowned. Others just as adamantly state that the Hulkster will reign supreme all the way through 1987. Only time will tell. By the way, throughout the broadcast this week, this year in review, you shall hear from time to time a New Year's resolution or two from some of the superstars of the WWF.
We're just going to keep climbing that ladder of success.
I'm going to take over Graceland.
To be Intercontinental Champion again.
One member of the Bobby Heenan family will become World's Heavyweight Champion.
You know, what else would I like to have but some grits and some greens and some of them fresh old possum fritters?
Money!
Les! Oh, yeah! And this year, no more Mr. Nice Guy, yeah!
To make 1987 the year of the wizard, to the top, go Sika and Kamala!
I'm going to buy 100 head of the finest Brahma cattle you've ever seen in your life and to try to treat everybody like I'd like to be treated myself.
Pure and simple, to add the gold, the world gold, to the crown.
Well, you better believe I'm going to keep the world's title and all my Hulkamaniacs. But my New Year's resolution is to turn the whole world on to Hulkamania.
B7, the Hart Foundation is going to take the world heavyweight tag team belts and take them back to that beautiful little man, Jimmy Hart.
My resolution is to continue the revolution and to wage my war like you've never, ever seen it before.
On behalf of the Dream Team, this is Greg the Hammer Valentine. And you know, my dream, my New Year's resolution is that the Dream Team is going to have a banner year in 1987. And all you, especially you ladies, the Dream Team is going to shine brighter than ever before.
Hey, Matilda, what kind of bones do you like, girl? I like good old ham hot thugs. I'll bet you like those good old soft bones. You like to bury your bones in the dirt, don't you? But the dog like to carry his bones home to his pup. Hey, let's go out there to the ring and bite on somebody. Let's get him, girl.
For Matilda to keep an eye on her opponents.
I would like for everyone in the world to have an opportunity to enjoy a World Wrestling Federation event.
To be the World Wrestling Federation champion.
Hot Rod gets hotter.
The Hart Foundation have become the tag team champions of the world.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy. On Rant EM Radio, proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
I guess when I said fucking gypsies.
That's what it was.
I thought I could say just because I am one. I didn't think it mattered.
You're allowed to, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go. See? There you go. Oh, well.
Welcome.
Phil, you know which sound clip I miss? Is the Rocky one? Sound clip.
Which? Oh.
I think she's retarded.
What do you mean she's retarded? She's shy. Yeah. Tell you what to do. Take it to the zoo.
I heard retards
like the zoo. Hey, this bum gonna talk to me like that?
Fucking sound clip is gold. I love that sound clip.
I gotta put that back on there. I gotta put that back on there. That was fucking awesome. But I got this one though.
Oh, Dusty Rhodes!
Dusty Rhodes. Okay, so I going to Dusty Rhodes. Who the fuck was talking shit about Dusty Rhodes saying he was overrated?
I'm part of these like retro wrestling just a couple of pages. And most of the narrator guy is pretty cool. Dean Matthews, I think his name is.
He's nice. No, he's a good guy.
He's a good dude. So he puts this post up. He's like, oh, who's a fan of Dusty Rhodes? I wasn't a fan. I think he's overrated. And then all these kids were like, yeah, he's real overrated. I was like,
well, how old are they, 10?
Well, you minus 3 when he won his first fucking title?
Yeah, exactly.
So I was going to go in, but I was like, nah, I can't argue with these kids, man. Oh, Rob says racist. Uncle racist. And when Mikey called you Uncle racist? R-A-Y-C-Y-S-T.
Jip-C?
Jip-C.
Oh, Lord. Oh, you know Hammer texted me, right?
He texted you for what?
He asked me why they call you Choppy. I thought he knew that already.
No, and I don't think I ever told him. He didn't. I don't think he knew your name for the first 2 years of you knowing him.
Good, because I don't want people to know my government name. God damn it! I want to keep.
Yeah, the only time I think he heard your name, your government name, was when Brielle would yell at you.
Andre.
She exactly. I think that's the only time he knew your name when she yelled at you.
your shoot name.
Your shoot name. Your government name. Matt says, not Spock. Three beautiful gentlemen on the computer screen. Okay, faggot, what's next? Matt Spock, Choppy's not in the boiler room. Choppy's not in the boiler room, but the electrical room. I guess this electrical thing. Oh, yeah, there it is.
No, that's always there. I can't hide that, so too fucking bad, all right? Deal with it.
Too fucking bad over here. What'd you say?
She said, some fan said about it. About the
Oh, sorry, Phil. Love you.
I'm over here now.
You're a jerk. What do you call it? That's what I think of you.
Anyway.
Fuck my tit fan.
Yes.
What do you call it? So anything else happened big this week?
No, I caught like 10 minutes of the Brody Lee tribute. The shirt crashed their website.
Whoa.
All Pro Wrestling Tees?
Whatever they're selling the Brody Lee shirt on. They did a 10 bell salute for him, like people bawling. The wife is there with the kid. The kid signed the contract.
Yeah, 8 years old.
He's got a contract
to be a future wrestler.
Yeah. So Tony Khan doing the right thing, man. You know what
Tony Khan do, but you know that's he's doing the right thing for the family without a doubt. So you got to think, what if the kid doesn't want to be a wrestler?
Listen, he'll have something. I mean, maybe an administrative role. You don't know, man. I mean,
yeah.
There was also some good news out there. Apparently, not only was any shirt that's sold from Pro Wrestling Tees all goes to the family, and then CM Punk's T-shirt sells, anything that he sells from CM Punk goes right to the family as well.
Cole Cabana, too, I believe.
Yeah, and Cabana as well. So that's a
Cabana
really
was
nice
balling. He came out. They had a tag match. It was him and the Dark Order versus the Bucks versus the Private Party and Matt Hardy, and he was like tears, man.
But, really, I'm sure he was.
That was his boy. Yeah, you know,
Who would have thought that Brody Lee's death, Luke Harper's death, would have caused so much of a reaction from the whole wrestling community? I mean, like, when was the last time a wrestler's death caused this much of a frenzy in the wrestling community? Honestly, it was a shock.
Guerrero, maybe
Benoit.
We do not speak
Benoit
of.
Well, no. Well, you see, I have to say Benoit because we didn't know the facts until 2 days later.
Correct.
24 hours. That's right.
Right. So, like, we thought, oh my God, Mick Foley too is doing all the shirts too.
Yep. Good.
Yeah, man. So,
Brody's death was really shocking. I was like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
They, you know, it shows to you how he was as not just a wrestler. I mean, obviously his in-ring skills were just, you know, above average, and, you know, well, I should say far above average, but he, you know, just outside the ring. That's what mostly everybody was talking about, was outside the ring. It's like, it's almost Owen Hart level too, if you really think about it too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Where people, the stuff with Eddie, you know, he was a great wrestler, this and that, but like the stuff with Owen Hart was, it was more of the backstage stuff and the personal stuff. And that's kind of what you're getting from it now. So it's really heartwarming to hear that. And, you know, kudos to, you know, AEW for signing, you know, Brody's son. I think his name is Brody Jr. Actually.
Yeah, they call him, I think it's Brody Lee Jr. is his actual name.
Yeah, and he was a part of the main event. They had, they put his three favorite wrestlers together. It was Orange Cassidy, Cody Rhodes, and the number 10 from the Dark Order against Team Taz.
That's so crazy.
They did a nice little thing for him. I didn't get a chance to see the whole AEW episode yet, but
I know that Kenny Omega, after the show was over, did a dark match with the kid, and he laid down for the kid so he could win the title.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That was a really nice gesture. Yeah, he did that for the kid.
Yeah.
So for all the Kenny Omega haters, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah. Nah, and like I said, I mean, that's just kind of like, you know, you could see what he, you know, what his mark on the business is, and, you know, and will be for that matter, you know, but it does show you how much of it, like, he was only in AEW, you know, for the last, what, 6 months, you know, yeah, maybe?
About that.
And he was, you know, he wasn't a, you don't want to shortchange the guy, but, you know, he was, like, next to a main event, you know, but he was definitely a bigger star now than he was in WWE, I would think.
He was a guy that never reached his full potential, and he was about to. He was about to be that top tier level talent. Absolutely. And I told Phil all the time, like when he was with WWE, what the fuck are they doing with Luke Harper? The guy is a phenomenal talent. He could work with anybody. And I remember when I went to WrestleMania 29 back in 2013, and I was at Fan Access. I saw him for the first time against Sami Zayn in a dark match. They wrestled in front of the crowd for Fan Access. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's fucking amazing, bro. He's so good. And I think he never got the credit he deserved in WWE. But then, like, when he went to AEW, you could see that they were going to make him a major player.
And they did a great tribute on, you know, Being the Elite. I haven't watched Being the Elite in ages.
Yeah, a lot.
I watched the Brody Lee one, and
yeah,
you know, and it shows like he didn't want to do that at first because he wanted to be taken serious, but his personality kind of bled through that, and like, you know, I'm making sure everybody has having a good time and fun and everything. So
of course,
you know, we lost a good one. You know, that's what I would venture to say.
I don't know if this is true or not, and I don't want to be – I hope they don't do this, but, like, this is just what I've heard. They're thinking about replacing him already with someone else. And the rumor mill going around, it's Eric Rowan.
Whoa.
Now, if – I don't know if Eric Rowan can talk. I really don't know.
I think he, not as well as Brody Lee, probably.
No, Brody Lee was – I like when those two were together, they were gold. But I think separately, when Eric Rowan's by himself, he didn't do shit. So I mean, I think that what's going to happen is, I think Luke I thought Evil Uno would have just taken over as the main leader of the group and call it a day.
Well, like I said, Rowan was on AEW tonight.
Was he really?
He made an appearance. Yeah. I'm just reading it right now.
Rob said Rowan showed up. He didn't sign. He probably won't be signed. Does Hangman Page take that spot?
Oh, my God. As the leader of the Dark Order?
Or Colt Cabana?
Colt Cabana would be a good one.
What about Silver?
I like Colt Cabana.
Silver?
Silver's the most likely, the obvious choice. Yeah. He's the most charismatic. He's always doing the Being the Elite shit, too. He's actually really well-respected backstage, too. So I don't see why it would make perfect sense, actually.
Or it could be Dustin Rhodes.
So that's my cousin Richie just said that.
It could be Dustin Rhodes because let's think about it. He's been like kind of like declining the offers to join the Dark Order, but it could just be him fucking around with the audience to be like, "Hey, I don't want to do it," but it turns out he does want to do it. But who knows? We'll see what happens.
You'll get Tourette's again. Ooh 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 ooh.
They Cody is introducing Cody Lee Jr. Brody Lee Jr. to the ring right now.
That's cool.
So coming out with the wife. Yeah, it's just, you know, this is pretty sad, you know. But
I hate watching tribute shows. I hate it, man.
You know what? I don't know. I kind of do enjoy them. You know, I've actually watched like the Owen Hart one a handful of times. I think there's something. I mean, listen, it gets me in the feels. Don't get me wrong, but there's something especially with pro wrestling. There's something about the genuineness about it. You know, people talking about it, how it was, you know, like how the person was backstage, like that stuff. I kind of like, you know, but in the same respect, it is super sad though. You know,
speaking of genuine, there's a lot of people feel that the genuine honesty of WWE's treatment was not that good for Luke Harper.
I'm going to cut you off because I'm reading this all fucking day. And let me tell you something. No one's obligated to do these things, right?
I agree.
And he was so well respected that I even made an audio clip. I don't know if you guys want to hear it. Did you guys hear Enzo's clip?
I have not, no.
You heard it, Jay? Like, yeah. He's out of character. He was all the feels, right? He did one. Austin Creed did one. A couple of guys did one on their own. But, like, stop with the criticism, Marks. You know, how about this? Hold on. Let me play this for you. Hey, do me a favor. Here's the thing. He's not with the company, okay? He didn't leave on bad terms. It was a business. It was just a business thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you can fucking tribute them all you want. Like, there's a couple of guys that didn't get the tribute rub, so to speak. You know, but like, I thought it was all right. You know, like
they showed the guy respect. I mean, I was watching Raw. They showed the guy respect. I mean, even Xavier Woods, Austin Creed, he did his famous discus clothesline in the match against the Hurt Business. Yeah. I thought that was a really nice nod to him. And you know what? For all the people that are like criticizing WWE for what they did, I mean, like, guys, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
He wasn't working for WWE. And on top of that, they still said something about the guy.
Yeah, and then where Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone mentioned Pat Patterson, there was no mention of him on the show. Like, you know, there's no tribute to him on AEW when Patterson passed away.
But then, like I said, these same fans didn't say anything about that. You know what I mean? So, like, you can't.
Yeah, correct.
You can't have both sides of that. Fuck
them.
What are you expecting? Yeah. What are you expecting WWE to do? Like a tribute show? Like, listen, we could always badmouth WWE about countless things, but some of the good that they do is often overlooked.
I agree.
Where helping guys with surgeries and rehabs and drug rehabs and what have you. Like, excuse me, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, the old man does that, quite frankly, isn't publicized. And so, in the same sense, like, we really shouldn't be criticizing them as much as, you know, just saying, hey, they didn't have to do anything. Like Phil said, they didn't have to do anything.
That's
they
right.
Yeah.
And our buddy Baz is checking in from the UK. Good evening, sir. Thank you for checking in. It's got to be late over there.
Hello, buddy.
And he said, and I quote, "Wrestling fans are genuinely uniformed cunts trying to book life because they have nothing in their life to distract them."
a lot of the comments that are said by wrestling fans are mostly probably kids in their like teenage years. Their best wrestling days were probably the Ruthless Aggression era, and that's it. I mean, like,
yeah.
we've lived through the Golden Era, the Attitude Era, the new generation. We went through all of them already, and we know when a company's being genuine with what they're doing. And unfortunately, if you don't like what WWE did, fuck you. Who cares?
How about this?
But you're a cunt.
Yes.
You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt. So you have some more cunt kids.
Yeah, cunt kids.
And those are the kids right there, the cunt kids that are acting like assholes right now.
Yeah. So Tony Khan gave Brody Jr. a TNT title.
That's awesome.
I think it was the original one.
The original one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, before Cody colorized it, like fucking Turner colorized all the old movies. So
yeah, but you know, like I said, I think what the WWE did, I think they did the right thing. There's no need to look too much into stuff. Everything isn't as you know. Everything isn't an angle or anything like that. You know, this guy died tragically, left behind. You know, his a loving wife and a son. You know, let's celebrate that and let's not try to turn something that is super sad into like something that's against the WWE, like another mark against them. They're doing enough bad stuff with the TVs. We don't need to attack them personally either, you know.
You know, it's been an awful year.
Gosh.
Right?
Yes.
It's been an awful year. And I feel like anything that's done positive to this extent, even if it's at the expense of somebody passing away, is just a different vibe from the norm. And it should make you feel like, yeah, we are a part of a community. We have this medium, this thing that we like. This pro wrestling is our mistress. Yeah. You know, it's our mistress. It'll never. What the hell is this?
What's up,
please? What the hell? Hold on. Is that my phone? Yeah, it's my phone. Sorry. but it's like our mistress. It'll never leave you. No matter how bad it gets, you know, it'll never turn its back on you. Because and if it does, they always makes up for it somehow. You know, but it's been a rough year. There's been a lot of good stuff though during the year.
Yeah.
I pulled up Meltzer's fucking list. There's so many great matches that went on this year.
Yeah, there really was.
I mean, I don't know where are we going? I know Choppy has a gripe. Jay and I tried to talk him out of it. I guess we're not. Where do we want to go? I mean, it's pretty much an open forum.
Let's put the gripe in the middle. We'll make a nice sandwich here.
Okay.
I think we should let Choppy, you know, air out. I mean, listen, we did just pass Festivus, so we can give Choppy the poll, the Festivus poll, and air his grievances out.
Before Choppy says this thing, I just want to premise it with this.
Yes.
Choppy made every attempt to rectify the situation.
Absolutely. Okay,
and every time he made a move, he didn't do it without Jay and I. He would text us, message us. Everything he typed, everything he said, everything the person said to him was sent to us systematically. So if this gets out of hand or online, Choppy already put it out there on social media, so it's already out there. So that I want to premise it with that because I know people are going to say some shit, and I really don't care. So Chop, you have the floor. Do you want me to play our music or?
Sure. We gotta do it right. You know.
All
right.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Let's get to music here. Hold on a minute. No, not that. Not that. Hold on. I have to get glasses. I think because I can't see anything now.
Uh oh.
No. Yeah. Like anything small. Hold on. Did I put it? I think I put it back on here though.
I don't know.
No, I think I did. Hold on a second. You're kind of the movie here now. Make him humble.
I'm sorry.
I thought I had it. right. I guess I didn't put it back on when I got the soundboard back when the computer crashed. All right,
No worries.
No, so go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
So, I on Twitter, I had apologized to all the fan base. I was basically saying, I'm going to apologize to you guys on the air. I just want to apologize to the fans of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We, here at Turnbuckle Throwbacks, we were trying to get the interview with a specific performer from the ECW era of, you know, Paul E. from, like, you know, the old ECW. And this person's name is Justin Credible. And we were working very hard to accommodate this gentleman. And also, we paid this gentleman up front at least 3 weeks in advance.
Correct.
For the interview. So, first we came around, and supposedly he lost, because we had the first week he was supposed to be on, supposedly he lost power.
We did have a huge storm in the Northeast.
We only to find out the next day he had no problems going to Long Island to go do a fan signing. No issues whatsoever. Mind you, this guy lives in Connecticut. So that's like a good 4-hour drive for him. No, without a doubt. Then we had scheduled for the following week. And we were like, hey, and I asked him, I was like, hey, dude, can you like retweet us so that way we can get some more fans to listen to the show? And he was like, yeah, sure. And never retweeted us, but he retweeted somebody else. He retweeted the two Man Power Trip podcast with no problems. And that's multiple times.
Yeah, no disrespect to them, but like,
none whatsoever.
Had nothing to do with them.
And then he also managed to do the Hannibal TV's show on YouTube. He did a shoot with him.
Yeah.
No problem doing the shoot with Devin. No problems with him. And then the second week came around, and he was like, yeah, I don't mind doing the show with you guys at 9 o'clock. The only problem is I have to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm just like, okay. Now he's like giving me the guilt trip about getting up in the morning. Mind you, Jay that week had to be up at like, I think, 2 o'clock in the morning to go to work, and he was still doing the show with us. But yeah, him going to bed from 9 to 5 was going to be an issue. So I was like, you know what? All right, man, we'll not a problem, dude. We'll reschedule again. That was twice we rescheduled with him.
Yeah, well, the second time was, he was emailing us, right? So yeah. I emailed him and said, listen, could you record a little bumper for us? Like, you know, and I actually typed out what I would like him to say because we already paid you. He said, no problem. I got the audio clip back. He did it from his phone. He fucking butchered it.
And I think he did it on purpose. Like, he didn't even give a shit kind of scenario.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for, you know, Phil's editing skills, I think it would have been a lot worse.
It was. I won't even play it anymore.
It's not even worth it.
Yeah, I have it. I'm not going to play it anymore, though.
No. So, third week came around, and we were supposed to. Unfortunately, my wife, she got sick, and I couldn't do it. So, I emailed him. I actually messaged him through Twitter. I was like, hey, man, just want to apologize. I never got back to you to do to reschedule for the third show. So I asked him, I was like, hey, can you just refund me the $50 that we gave you up front and we'll reschedule for sometime in 2021? That was Wednesday of last week. Mm-hmm. Never got a response. The following day, I hit him with 3 question marks. Never got a response. So then I said, all right, then I replied to him about a couple hours after that, those 3 question marks. I was like, oh, so this is how it's going to be. You're going to ignore my messages. You should show me the respect and tell me that you're not going to give me the money back. That's what I said to him. Never got a response from him. Yet, he was retweeting that same day with no problems. So then I put my rant up on Twitter. And after I put up my rant on Twitter, he messaged me an hour later after the rant came up and said, hey, man, just call ask PayPal to refund your money. I wasn't ignoring your messages. I just had a death in the family. If you had a death in the family, why the fuck were you retweeting shit throughout the whole day? You know what? Mm-hmm. Just incredible. Go fuck yourself. Fuck you. You used to be one of my idols from ECW, and now you're a fucking piece of shit. You know how the old saying is when you finally get to meet your heroes, they turn out to be assholes? Guess what? He's a fucking asshole. And I have no problem saying that on the air right now. And I, you know, if I offend anybody who's a fan of his, I'm sorry. He's a fucking cocksucker. Fuck him.
You know, it's really profound. I don't like it's profound how he handled it, which pisses me off. Like he got caught in like five different lies, and then like Choppy even told because Joel Gertner was at the appearance with him.
Correct. And I even asked him.
Yeah, and Choppy said to him like, "You guys were there, whatever." But like this is why I don't like having people on. You know,
it's because, not worth it.
Because it's like, you know, first of all, we broadcast at a not so decent time in the week. It's Friday night, right? You know what I'm saying? On top of that, it's like they're all asking for money. You know, it's like everybody wants. Listen, we're pissing you. Listen, I know everybody doesn't make a book. I get it. I totally get it. You know what I'm saying? But like you agreed. You made an agreement. You made a commitment. You were paid. You were given funds for it, you know? At least be a fucking man about it. You know what I'm saying? Don't be a jerk off. And he was on the network with us a couple of years ago. He had a podcast on the Shining Wizards Network. And we were going to bring him on then. Even then, he fucking flaked out on me. We were network affiliates. And he fucking flaked out on me. So like, you know, I don't like having people on. This is not the first time with people like that. And we had a couple people. You know, we had Sonny Ono, who's great. We had Adrian Street, all the way from the fucking UK. We had Kirk Fuller. We had Little Egypt from Glow. We had Dave Milligan, the fucking the belt maker, the master belt maker. We had some good guests on. We had the Brody Book guy. You know, so it's like we had people on.
Yeah, Chris Dickinson.
We had the Dirty Daddy in my house. Chris was in my house, and Jocka was in my house. Team Position was in my house.
We had legitimate, like, fucking stars on the show, and then for this cocksucker to fucking flake out on us twice, once with the Shining Wizards and then once with us, I mean, come on, man. This is bullshit. I mean, I'm trying to, like, provide some content for – not me, but, like, us as a trio. Yes. We were trying to provide content for the fucking fans.
Yeah.
We were trying to provide it for the fucking fans. And then all of a sudden for this asshole to fucking flake out on us again. You know what? Phil's right, man. It's not even worth having any more fucking people on this show. It's fucking not – it's not worth it, man.
Yeah,
it does sour the taste a little bit, you know? Like, you know, and that's the way you got to, like, look at it because it's not, you know, it's not anybody's fault per se. But, like – well, I mean, besides Justin. But, like, you know, we're trying to do something and we were more – I feel more than accommodating for him, trying to, you know. We were very flexible, and you know, to not even have an answer, it kind of like, you know, you're treating us like a piece of shit.
Basically.
I would have respected him more if he had said, "Hey guys, I'm not giving the fucking money back." But for him to not even respond, and he only responded after I put my rant on Twitter. That's when he fucking responded. So you want to know something? Just incredible. You're my fuck you wrestler of the week, and you can go fuck yourself. And my rant is done.
Fuck you wrestler of the week. Ugh. Rantle.
And what's upsetting is that I didn't look up to that motherfucker. So.
Yeah, that's why they say you never meet your heroes, right?
No. It's always you meet the villains all the time.
Yeah.
That's a shame. It's a shame.
Anyway, Matt says, Matt Squires says, Justin's Incredible's a creep, and he used that $50 to get that signing. Yeah, so, yeah. It's like, you know, and I know, listen, I don't want to put the guy, Choppy already put the guy on blast, Jay, and, you know, he's had demons, he's had issues, I know that for a fact, because he admitted it on different shows and stuff like that. So I thought maybe, you know what, New lease on life. He's out there doing shoots. He's making appearances. Let's get him on the show. We love him. We talked him up for at least 5 years on this show because he was that second wave of Paulie's fucking fortune, man. ECW was going through a transition. They were losing guys, and he kept making stars. Just Incredible was one of them. So it was like, I mean, he was so good. I know how you feel, Choppy. Don West sold me a fake Mark McGuire rookie card. Be dialing, people. So Jay and I were trying to talk Choppy out of it today. It was like,
because it's just like that's how I am in life.
I agree. I agree with you.
If somebody pisses me off, I don't even want I don't even want to give him the satisfaction of selling it.
I go, I think Choppy would have let it go. Me knowing Choppy for this long now, Chops would have let it go if he didn't write back and say he had a debt in the family and he was retweeting.
Can you imagine?
No, that, and I know that put you over the top.
It pissed me off because I know it did.
I know.
I had a death in the family, but I saw you retweeting like hours ago with no issues.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you, man. Get out of here. Fucking gypsy.
Yeah.
Fucking bullshit.
Tabe is in the room. Hey Tabes, how you doing there, booby? How are ya? Fallon says, what's up, Luscious with the locks?
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
It's funny. I'm in Tava's house and she's not here.
That's dope.
She's at her dad's house.
Nice. Wow.
Nice.
So when she when she gets home, is she gonna call you Moses?
She hasn't said to cut it yet, so we'll see how long it goes. So
she likes those luscious locks.
She's gonna when she starts seeing those split ends when you wake it up hungover from the next party. She's gonna tell you we're gonna have to have a conversation.
I told her I wanted to grow my beard out like Zach Wilde. She goes, you know we live with scissors, right? I just cut it while you're sleeping.
she's gonna pull. Who's that chick that cut the dude's dick off? What was her name?
Bobbit.
She's gonna bobbit your beard, dog.
Yeah.
She's gonna bobbit that beard.
Better not.
One of these days she's gonna cut your hair and you're gonna come into the show with a fade. Oh my god.
Yeah.
He's gonna come in with that. You know what he's gonna come look like? Remember when Jim Heard told Ric Flair he had to cut his hair? Flair had the fade with the bouffant on top. That's gonna be Jay. Oh, she's like, Tamer says, I love to blow dry those locks. Kinky. Yeah.
Ooh. He does.
She ain't got a whole box of Swab shampoo for Christmas, Matt Squire said. Phil, in his sleep. That's right. Yeah. She's going to bob at those locks, son.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So, anyway, what's up?
Could you imagine if she shaves your head and then we have three bald pricks on the show now?
Well, I have to get what Phil got for Christmas. What'd you say? The skull shaver.
No, let's be honest here. We had Choppy and I had an ulterior motive. We needed some fucking good looking people on the show, man. Because
of course.
So we drafted you on not only on your talent but your good looks as well.
It's the hair. The hair makes it.
Does Jay's hairdo come with a dreidel? Or some stone tablets?
Yeah, stone tablets.
Thou shalt not bob at the locks.
Might as well call ourselves the Stone Tablet Pilots.
I love it. I am smitten like a real. I'm sorry. Anyway. What else you want to go?
Let's go with the top 2020 matches. Even though this year's been shitty, there has been some good wrestling.
But I tell you right now, my two guys right now have been Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. They've been killing it, dude.
Yep.
Well, Meltzer's list doesn't even have a WWE match on it until until the middle of the it's all Japan and AEW.
That's
and
sad.
NXT.
NXT.
Yeah. The first WWE is the tables. Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens. That's the first from a couple weeks ago. That's his first. That's the one WWE match he has here. Let me see if there's any more. Hold on.
That match was good.
That match was excellent. Roman Reigns literally is just on fire right now.
And we've been telling WWE, please change him heel, man, because he'd be so much better as a heel.
This is old New Japan. ROH Final Battle, Jonathan Gresham versus Flip Gordon. That was fantastic. I don't know if you guys saw that from Final Battle last week.
Still haven't seen it.
I didn't see it.
Flip Gordon fought Gresham for the Pure title. So now, Choppy knows. Jay, you know the rules for the Pure title, right? With the ring breaks and all this other stuff. Can I tell you? Fantastic. Fantastic match. You have to watch it. It's really good.
Phil, I forgot to ask you, is the Pure title still the same design or they came out with a new design?
Same design.
Okay, good, good. All right,
and continue. So Gresham has that belt, and he has the tag belts with Jay Lethal. And that's he's in a faction called the Foundation with Rhett Titus.
Yes.
Kenny King, I think. Is it Kenny King? I'm not sure. It's Rhett Titus. No, it's not. It's Rhett Titus, Jonathan Gresham, Jay Lethal, and somebody else. Mott's Box of the Pure Tag Team match was amazing. Yes, it was. It was. But yeah, ROH is back in a big bad way. The number one match for Meltzer was from AEW Full Gear, which is the Young Bucks versus what's their faces? Dax Hardwood and Cash Wheeler, who's an FTW.
Yeah.
FTR.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Number one match is a come on, man.
Yeah. Well, it's. I, like I said, I thought he was going to pick Adam Page Omega against the Young Bucks. I thought that one he was going to pick.
One of my favorites this year was from October 29th of this year, NXT UK, Volta versus Ilya Dragunov.
Is that match mentioned?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. That was really good.
Omega versus Laredo Kid for the Triple Mania title is on here. A lot of New Japan. Lots of New Japan are on here.
Is anything with Roosh on that list?
No, Choppy. Nothing with
Roosh. He's fucking terrible. I told you. No,
his dad showed up, right?
Who's that?
Roosh's dad from Mexico. His famous dad.
What's his name? Sloosh?
No. Roosh and Sloosh.
Oh, God. He's fucking terrible.
There's a bunch of them, man. I mean, there's a couple of stuff. Oh, yeah. Omega and Page are on here from Full Gear. Omega versus Penta's on here. A lot of Will Ospreay's on here. No fooling. Okada. Bully versus Cody in a door collar match. No, Damian Priest is not on this list. Matt Squires.
I really enjoyed that door collar match.
I enjoyed it too.
I watched it again, and maybe I'm watching it with different eyes now, but, you know.
But
I really enjoyed that.
But for them to come, like, this is my thing. For them to come back with a dog collar match for the return bout, should have been like the last match. Not
it
like
should have been the last match. Oh, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Kyle O'Reilly versus Pete Dunne from NXT TV. That was a great match. Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre from Survivor Series.
Okay. What about Finn no Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly on there?
Yeah, that's on here.
Oh,
Finn Balor, Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor, Johnny Gargano, Jon Moxley versus Suzuki from February.
You want to talk New Japan? I completely forgot about it, and I was able to find it. Jericho against Tanahashi, Wrestle Kingdom.
From this year?
From this year. I was a big fan of that. I watched it. Another one I watched again. I was like,
isn't that when Jericho went into the crowd and kept calling him Tanahashi or some shit like that?
Yeah. I tell you, man, I'm really putting over Chris Jericho, man, because I think this guy is literally just the best in the business right now at everything. He killed it on commentary again tonight.
Let me tell you how dope Yuji Nagata is. He's like 10 years older, 12 years older than me, and he's still making lists. He's on this list.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of great matches on here, man. Oh no, Damian Priest didn't make this list. I apologize. From Takeover 30, the ladder match.
Oh God.
Yeah. Call them Bakahashi. That's right.
Yeah.
Bowman's favorite wrestler, Damian Priest.
Punishment Margasso.
Ugh.
It's awesome.
Punishment Corbin. Baron,
Punishment Corbin. Baron Margasso.
Baron Martina. Ugh.
Oh, it's awesome. There's a bunch of them. Adam Cole versus Ciampa from Takeover Portland. That was a good match.
That was good.
Naito versus Tanahashi from G1 was a good match. Jeff Cobb versus Ishii from October.
What about when it was the Imperium against Undisputed Era?
Undisputed Era, yeah.
That was good too.
When I looked at it, I go, I completely forgot about that match.
The AEW parking lot match with the best friends against Santana and Ortiz. Santana and Ortiz for Devon Dudley's kids in a dark match this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're in AEW now.
Good.
And Kota Ibushi versus Suzuki. Suzuki's on this list like fucking 17 times. Cobb's going to wrestle Shingo for the Never Openweight title Monday. I'm going to be doing a preview show. I don't know which day I'm going to be doing it, but I'm going to record a preview show for Wrestle Kingdom 15 because I'm off of work. I am so fucking stoked. I cannot. Nice. Yes, the Raw game was on there, Gordon. Of course it was. The Raw game, if you will. Mellow Yo, taste that. Best Mountain Dew. Hey, yeah, but I mean, any other matches, Jay, that tickle on your tits?
You know, on the rise of
I liked Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, their first match.
I was gonna say the same thing about Jey Uso against Daniel Bryan.
That was good too.
That match, I loved
that. That was
match.
Fun. That was so fun.
We could do all. It's not much WWE. At least it doesn't seem like it. But they still had some good matches. You know, Drew McIntyre and Orton. You know, the ambulance match. You know, I was a fan of.
Can I just say I was not a fan of that feud? I don't know why. I just could not get into it.
Well, is it because now Orton got the belt? But McIntyre's got the belt back.
No, McIntyre got it. McIntyre got it back.
I'm not feeling it. I don't know what. I think I might like McIntyre versus Sheamus when that happens.
I cannot wait for that to happen.
That might be good.
And I just wanted to make one more mention of, I know your favorite wrestler, Phil, Jordan Moxley against Eddie Kingston. Our favorite.
Wrestler. That was so good.
I loved that match. So. You know, for what seemed to be like a shit year in some respects, in other respects, there was some decent wrestling.
How about Tyler Bate versus Jordan Devlin from UK?
Oh, yeah.
You know how big a fan I am of that kid Devlin, man. I am all about that kid, man. I really hope they do something with him. I hope when the world opens up again, he gets to compete everywhere because he is such a fucking solid wrestler, man.
I want him to reclaim that cruiserweight title from that fucking
Cook. Yeah, from the short line cook. Where's my bell? Sweeney took the bell the other day. I went for
whatever. That short order cook, that piece of shit. What's his name? Il Fantasmo?
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
Anyway, any other matches? Anything else tickling your tits?
No.
Did we like anything from Mania besides McIntyre? We didn't like the AJ Styles stuff, right? The AJ Styles Undertaker.
I liked it. I hated it. I knew it was going to be overused at some point, but I really enjoyed it. I thought that was a good send off.
Santos Escobar. No. Thank you, Gordon.
Oh, is that his name?
Santos Escobar.
Escobar. What a dick!
What a fucking fanook.
From Mania. I was a fan of the Kevin Owens Seth Rollins match. I thought that was really good. Rhea Ripley against Charlotte. Was amazing. And I'm glad to see Rhea Ripley starting to. I was actually a bigger fan of. I think it was the next takeover. It was the three way with Charlotte, Io Shirai, and Rhea Ripley. I thought that was even better.
The shit locker, Shirai. Yeah.
I think Io Shirai has been doing amazing as NXT Women's Champion.
Absolutely, but I think all in all it was a good year, a weird year, to say the least, wrestling wise.
I have a question to ask you guys. Do you think we're gonna get a WrestleMania with a crowd this year?
Well, they're starting to let people into the football stadiums. As of early as today, Cuomo's letting over 6,000 people in the Buffalo Bills playoff game in a couple of weeks.
Interesting.
I'm not a fan of it. I'm not. I'll let Jay get on this one too. But I don't know if I'm comfortable with it yet until we have this thing controlled to a point where we can regulate everything. You know what I'm saying? Like and that's my bread and butter. Everything I do extracurricular involves a crowd. So what I'm saying. So I'm trying to be patient like everybody else, but like. If it's Florida,
then I see a crowd there. If it's any, if it's Texas, I see a crowd. If it's anywhere else, I don't see a crowd.
I think that they won't do a stadium show. They might do an like a small ballpark show where they could fit a couple of thousand fans, not like 80,000 fans, obviously. But no. I could probably see them doing like a Cyclones, you know, like the Brooklyn Cyclones kind of arena,
like a 10,000 seat stadium. Or just doing a ballpark where there's 40,000 seats and only put 10,000 people there?
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Okay, I get it. Okay, that makes sense. What do you think, Jay?
That's what I was just going to say the same exact thing. They said today on AEW that they had the most amount of people there today, or whenever they did the taping. And it was still, you know, socially distant, you know, you sit with who you come with, that type of stuff. You know, I don't know. I want to say yes, you know, just because we can get back to what we perceive to be normal. But do I see it? You know, short of, you know, the old man buying an island and putting people in it.
Well, don't be surprised. Know? I mean, he's let go of a lot of superstars. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
and he's not in the best of health either, apparently. From what
supposedly.
I'm
yeah, I've heard that.
Allegedly,
who's that? A right shit.
Yeah,
a lot of dirt sheets are putting it up too, and I, you know, but I don't know. I don't know how true it is. I'm just saying that's
don't
what
believe
I
that shit.
I'm just telling you what I read. I don't believe any of it. I'm telling you what I read.
I know Ryback said the same shit, but
fuck yeah. Him too.
Yeah, fuck Ryback.
That big fucking juice head.
Oh, no, he only drinks Kool-Aid. What are you talking about, bro?
Nah.
Kool-Aid Stendion.
Yeah.
Sugar-free.
Sugar-free indeed. any other news and notes before we take a quick break?
Nah, let's take a quick break.
Let's take a quick break. Let's run our whistles. You guys can mute your mics. I'm going to play the commercials, and we're right back for our year-end edition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, live on The Rant, live on Facebook and Zoom and your sister's house. All right, we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Okay, let's give this a try. The Shining Wizards is a funny wrestling podcast. No. The Shining Wizards is an insightful wrestling podcast. How about this? The Shining Wizards is a great wrestling podcast that airs live Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on RantDMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. Of course, it's available on all podcasting platforms. I think that covers it. To check us out, go over to ShiningWizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live, you are doing the exact opposite. Where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab movement. Where the media has become an abundant propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security or safety. There is a conclusive breakdown. The weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just nod in our censored opinions everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Horns up, beautiful motherfuckers! Radioactive Metal is here on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want you to listen.
Every week, we cover the world of heavy metal and speak to your favorite bands.
We discuss new releases, concerts, controversies, and everything else that's related to heavy metal.
And occasionally, we even talk about pro wrestling.
Catch us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net.
Listen to past episodes at RadioactiveMetal.org or at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Journey.
When you're done with this show, join my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I, every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is Doc Gallows and the Machine Gun Carl Anderson, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy, and that's just too sweet.
Battle Air Scorpio. Next up, New Blood on the Block.
Yeah, you can't make it. That better be like for small. Man, I can make it. Give me this ball.
Ugh.
Ain't you kids supposed to be in school?
Nah, man, we gone to the game room.
What do you mean to the arcade? You guys need to be in school trying to get an education. Tell you what, I'll take you guys to school.
Are we going to ride on the thing?
Nuh-uh.
We're going to what?
Nuh-uh. You tell you what we're going to do? We're going to step.
Yeah, man.
That vignette is fucking dreadful. I hate that Too Cool Scorpio vignette.
Can we say hello to Queen's Zone, the OG Kevin Gill, who's hanging out with us in the room tonight?
Hello, sir.
What's up, Mr. Kevin? Now, that's a person who should come on Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
He should.
Kev's very, very amazing podcaster, wrestling announcer, juggalo.
Understatement.
And he fucking part of the same scene, was a great scene in Queens, New York hardcore back in the day. Kev, I hope you're well and out in Cali. Anyway, yeah, I saw that today and I lost my mind.
It was cringe. Oh my God, it was so bad.
I lost my mind when I saw the Too Cold Scorpio thing. Oh my sweet Christ.
I really hope Scorpio didn't think that was a cool vignette.
It was 1993, Chobby.
He was changing lives. he's helping people get out of the inner city, and he's teaching them to step to school.
Okay, terrific.
How out of place was the fat kid in that video?
Leave the fat kid alone, bro.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't look
leave
like
the
Phil
fat kid. Was, leave the fat was, kid alone.
That was Phil Rea in Queens back in 1992.
No, that was Phil Rea in Queens back in like 1982.
Whatever.
Yeah, 92. I was a bit portly, squashing bitches. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Smashing them too. Anyway, are we ready for a throwback?
Let's do it.
Yes.
And now here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
What's worse, making a difference for Fatu or Too Cold Scorpio?
Oh, making a difference for Fatu was a lot worse than that.
Yes, I think so.
Good question.
I had to agree with that.
Thank you, Matt.
I had to agree with that.
Okay.
Making a difference, Fatu. Oof.
Skull cap.
Yeah.
All right.
Name of this is, it's the Mayhem in Milwaukee from the Mecca. And it's in Mott Spock's neighborhood.
The Mecca.
The Mecca.
The Mecca of dog shit.
January 13th, 1993. It's the Clash of the Champions 22.
Oof.
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 Very confusing to follow the story.
It was very confused by the rules of the matches.
Yeah.
Wasn't this the Bill Watts era when we were supposed to be doing high flying moves off the top rope and people were still doing them anyways?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bill Watts was desperate.
Uh huh.
Watts
was not that he was all over it, but this was during the time when Eric Watts was the second coming. You know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah, the second coming of me ejaculating into a fucking tissue rag. That's how bad he was.
Yo,
dude. Wow. He was so bad.
He was so. You took my thunder, you bastard. He was so bad, and like I love how they played him off. Like he's suspended. I'm like, what did he do?
He was arrested, Philip. He was arrested.
What did he? Don't use my government name, Moses. Moses Cop over there.
He was. He gave Arn Anderson an STF. In a gas station. That's assault, pal.
That's assault where? In Utah?
he assaulted Arn Anderson at a gas station.
He gave Arn Anderson the STF? Isn't that considered like rape in the real world?
No, that's an STD. That's an STD.
Yeah.
STD.
he gave him a submission hold in a gas station.
Did he do the Sheiky move?
Fuck his ass. Make him humble.
I think so.
Eric Watts or Bruno's son for the worst. Hands down, Eric Watts was way worse than San Martino.
David San Martino was way better than fucking Eric Watts.
They were both dog shit, as Choppy would say. But if you're going to compare, Eric Watts was the shits of the drizzling variety.
That interview was proof that he was the dog shits. Did you see that interview?
The interview was terrible. Why would they even try?
You know what bothers me, too? How is Bill Watts this amazing talent back in his day and a terrible fucking promoter? Like, awful, terrible promoter.
Well, I think terrible, maybe.
Was he
maybe
really terrible, though?
Mid-South was massive. Made a lot, boatload of money in the South, you know, in the Southern, you know, part of the country.
What about Eric Watts' shirt? Sorry, Jake.
I'm sorry, Jay.
Finish.
That's just fashion. That's just fashion.
Fashion? It looks like the fucking Partridge Family bus.
But you know, I think Watts kind of because you got to remember, he did run a 16. I mean, obviously he wasn't super successful WWF WCW, but it was a fairly successful promotion. He had television rights. He had everything. So he was somewhat professional in that sense. But like what he wanted backstage was. It's not the 1970s anymore. You can't keep it kayfabe. Forget about it. You know, like heels and baby faces can't be near each other. They can't travel together. Like cutting dudes. Hey, WCW in 1993 was in shambles. They were losing money hand over fist. And Bill Watts was called to come in to kind of right the ship. But his strategy to do that is just to cut guys' money. Rick Rude was out hurt. He was supposed to be owed a lot of money. Watts wasn't paying him. There was a few guys with contract disputes.
I've been almost done with the Brian Pillman book that was given to me, I believe, last year. And Brian Pillman he was supposed to get, I believe, one in 93 before Bill Watts came in. He was supposed to be getting, I think, $300,000 in 93. For 2 years, and then Bill Watts was like, "No, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
it's either you take a pay cut, or I'm going to drop you off for the rest of the year." And then Brian Pillman said, to his credit, was like, "Well, I guess I'm going to be the highest paid jobber in fucking WCW." And that was
Eric Watts' shirt looks like wallpaper to the Ramada in 1975.
Oh,
Matt Squires. Yeah, this was a real, and we were still a year away from Hogan, FYI.
Oh my God,
yeah.
All right.
At least.
Jay, which opening match?
The opening match was, it was a doozy. Johnny B. Badd, for whatever reason, has this has this allure that he opens every fucking WC. It's the Saturday night, the main event show, the Clash of Champions, pay-per-views. Johnny B. Bad is always out first.
Johnny B. Dog shit.
So yeah. Cactus Jack was supposed to be trying to collect the bounty on Eric Watts.
Yeah.
Who puts a bounty on Eric Watts? Holly Reese? Yeah. Right? Right? That's awful, too. I'll get that in a few minutes.
But like you said, but now we essentially Cactus Jack at this point was slowly
a main player.
Yeah,
a main player, yeah.
And a main babyface.
Yeah. Well, he was a babyface after tonight.
Yeah, he was.
They showed a clip from Starrcade 92 where Jack and Johnny were partners in Elite Lottery, end up losing. And then there's a lot of Ventura teases the imminent Cactus Jack face turn. He mentions that Cactus is developing a cult following. Like I just told Jay, like I just told you guys.
Yep.
The crowd reacts positively to him and whatever. Tony Schiavone informs us that the great Muta has defeated Masahiro Chono in Japan for the NWA Heavyweight Championship and plugs the hotline, 1-800-999-9900.
I think 93, I'm gonna do a little research right now, but I'm pretty sure 93 they had the joint show. WCW and
New Japan. Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they did. That was with Fujinami and all that. All right. So Cactus. Yeah. So this is a brief match, really.
Yeah, it was like a 5-minute match. I know the ending of the match was Johnny B. Badd going for a sunset flip off the top of the rope,
and Cactus drops the elbow. Yeah,
Cactus Jack moves out of the way. He falls on his back, and then Cactus drops the elbow for the 1-2-3. Fans erupted. They were very happy that Johnny B. Badd lost. Very happy about this result.
Okay. Ready for your next match?
And then we had that great spot with Too Cold Scorpio that we played before.
Oh my god.
Too Cold Scorpio.
So cringeworthy. So
fighting Johnny Polo, Scotty Flamingo, Raven.
Yeah.
Scotty the body. This match was a little I thought it was gonna be better, honestly.
It wasn't too bad, actually.
It wasn't bad, but
it wasn't great either. I feel like the guys that just didn't mesh well together in the match. I don't know. They just didn't gel correctly, and I feel like it wasn't until Too Cold got the 450 on Scotty that's when he fucking got the crowd up out of their ass.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of high spots at that point.
Yeah, they knew what was coming. I tell you, I know we always talk good about him, but. Scotty's Raven is an excellent, like, underneath guy in that sense. Like, he's that quintessential, at this point, like, he was the Iron Mike Sharp of WCW, where, like, he's a legitimate, like, job guy. You know, like, he won very little matches, but, you know, it wasn't until about a year or so later where he would turn into Johnny Polo for a little bit, but then he would go into as Raven. In like 95, I believe, right, Phil?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Scotty looked like fucking
94. 94 was ECW.
94.
Scotty looked like the lead singer of NXS with that fucking look he had against Too Cold Scorpio. Curly ass fucking hair.
Whatever. Okay, so Jay mentioned this before. One thing you guys mentioned, Rick Rude was supposed to be on Vader's team in the big Thunder Cage match tonight.
Ugh,
he suffered a neck injury on my sister's birthday. Happy birthday, Natalie! January 10th of January 10th edition of WCW's main event. So Harley Race came up with a plan. Race pitted two of the toughest, meanest guys at WCW against each other, and the winner's going to be on the team. Cactus Jack versus my man, Tampa's own Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Who's still a main player at this point in his life.
Yeah, way past his prime, though.
Doesn't matter. He was still fucking killing it.
That fucking right arm of his needs to fucking go.
Dude, they're solid, bro. Him and Cactus had a good match.
In the 80s, he was fucking amazing.
Oh, no, that's untouchable. What's up, Sweet Lou?
I want to say, Orndorff was another one that got his money cut, too, when Watts came in. I think he was paying a lot of guys, like, you know, guys were getting ridiculous money at this point. And I think Orndorff was another one that got his money cut.
So, you know, so they fight each other. Harley Race interferes. Cactus hits, targets Race, blasted him with a diving clothesline off the apron, but had an unintended side effect. Vader charged in. world champion Vader to take care of his mentor, Clobber Cactus, before Wonderful laid him out there with a nasty fucking pile driver, by the way. Then later in the show, Harley Race announces that Orndorff made the Thunder Cage team, and then Cactus came out with a snow shovel and waffled the whole team.
And that was like, not a gimmick shovel. That shit was legit. No,
that was a legit snow shovel.
I can't be mad. Anytime a young Cactus Jack McFoley grabs any kind of weapon, he's good. He was good at, listen, say what you will, and I know this is one of Jay's favorite wrestler too, but like, I loved his feud with Sting. I loved his feud with Sting when they had to bash the beach and all that. And he, and him and Kevin Sullivan, him and Max Payne, he was good, man. He earned his fucking stripes. He did. And he went to Japan. Yeah.
And this was his, more or less, his breakout year.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and like slowly, you know, they did the amnesia angle in 92. So this is a good way to recover. Where's Cactus Jack? You know, lost in Cleveland. You know, so this is a good way to kind of reinvent him in a sense. But this next match was great. I really enjoyed this next match. I mean, it was mullet-tastic, first off. But
might be my favorite match in the card, actually.
This was a toss up between me. This got beat out by the tag match for me.
Are you talking about Armstrong and Benoit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chop, there's a Matty Legend sighting in the chat room.
Is it really? Hey, buddy.
What's up, Matty? Checking in from Canada.
Fucking Canuck.
Fucking Canucks. What's up, Matty? Miss you, brother. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, dude. This was supposed to be Chris Benoit's big breakout singles run in WCW. Yeah. That didn't come to pass. He was in the tag team tournament with Beef Wellington. Remember that? That tournament they had? I love that name too, Beef Wellington. That's
awesome. Beef Wellington.
By the way,
I love me some Beef Wellington.
But what do you call it? Benoit. I mean, I remember that one spot in the match where he does a springboard clothesline to the outside of the ring. And he really got the crowd to erupt really quick. It was a nasty spot, though. I thought Benoit hurt himself for real.
And Ventura, mind you. Ventura even popped for that too a little bit.
Yes. Because, yes.
You know, I know we always like shit on Ventura a little bit, like, you know, with his commentary. I thought he was excellent on this show.
He was solid.
I can't believe how involved he was. You know what I mean? Like, even with like the stupid arm wrestling thing and like talking about like he was really like involved with the storylines at least. Like he wasn't phoning it in, you know?
No.
But Brad Armstrong, wow, what a fucking wrestler.
Jay, I'm shocked, man. You didn't make any reference to Benoit's pants.
No.
You're onto that fucking hairband shit, dude. I thought you.
Yeah. Yeah. You think they were a little Zubaz?
You think he's like a fucking he's like a roadie for fucking for a striper, Motley, you know, for Motley Crue. Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of calling him Pegasus Kid, you might as well call him Zebra Kid. My God,
Zebra pants. Kid, ding 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 ding.
Yep.
But no, the match was really good. It was very stiff in certain parts of the match, and I love Benoit in this role of that headbutt, that diving headbutt when he missed it. Oh my God!
Who's got a better snap suplex, Benoit or his idol, the Dynamite Kid?
Dynamite.
Oh, it's so hard, dude. Because
it's so hard.
It's the Originator. The Originator got the better.
He hit that.
You might have to give it to him because he's the Originator. But
what about the full Nelson suplex that Benoit hit on fucking Brad Armstrong? That shit was beautiful.
Oh, man.
And what about the swinging neck breaker? He had the swinging neck breaker for the two count.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And then the bridging dragon suplex. That's how he ended it with a bridging dragon suplex.
It was really good.
Yeah, that was a great match.
And I tell you, it was a great match. And, I mean, rest in peace, you know, Brad Armstrong. But this may have been the only time I've ever seen Brad Armstrong get an entrance in WCW.
Well, that's
because his mullet.
His mullet got an entrance before he did. Come on.
He was the candy man, right? The candy man, Brad Armstrong, who can make a cookie.
He was Arachnaman.
Arachnaman.
Wasn't he Bad Street?
He was Bad Street.
He was Bad Street, yep. Poor Brad Armstrong. Rest in peace. Poor
Brad Armstrong.
Mr. All gimmicks needed.
All gimmicks needed. That's right, Choppy. That's right. I forgot about that. Oh, man.
Mr. All gimmicks needed Brad Armstrong.
That's right. That's right. As a result of a working agreement that WCW struck between them and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. How about this?
I like this. This was
me
cool.
too. Tony Schiavone informs that the Rock and Roll Express, Choppy's favorite tag team, has reunited and will defend the Smoky Mountain straps against Jim Cornette's Heavenly Bodies, which was the original lineup of Stan Lane and Dr. Tom Pritchard.
I didn't even know Stan Lane was part of the Heavenly Bodies.
That was before what's his face took over. Rest in peace,
Jimmy Del Rey.
Jimmy Del Rey, and they're going to fight at Super Bowl III, which is in February of that year. This would be the first time another U.S. promotion championship would be contested in WCW. By the way,
that was great.
Yeah. A U.S. championship, yeah. So, and then they show clips from Smoky Mountain and whatever.
But how about they showed a clip with the Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies, and they didn't even show the conclusion of the match. They just cut it off midway through. Like, they were showing this a super elongated clip, and they just go, "Oh well, fuck you guys." You know.
Yeah, it was silly. It was like a tease.
You're not gonna get the ending.
Yeah, fuck your couch. That's Bill Watts. That's Bill Watts. That's shit booking. That shit dick. All right. How about the next segment? Ugh.
Oh, Johnny Gunn.
No. The arm wrestling match.
Oh, the arm wrestling match.
Vinny Vegas and Mr. Tony Atlas.
And Tony Atlas is a heel. Let me get my cell phone here. Look at here, motherfucker. Yeah.
He's like, I will wrestle you right-handed, left-handed, center-handed. And Ace was like, and then Vidora was like, all right, stop.
No. Stop, yeah. Look, you need to stop, Tony Atlas. You need to stop.
Yeah,
I'm practicing my Jesse. I'm trying to get it. I ain't got time to bleed. So Vinny Vegas, aka Kevin Nash, aka Diesel, aka Big Fucking Nasty, Big Sexy. He has Vinny Vegas as the gimmick. Now it's supposed to be Heavy Metal Van Hammer, who's the arm wrestling champion. I didn't even know this existed. I thought Scott Norton was the arm wrestling champion in real life. It was an unfair disadvantage because he was left-handed.
Oh yeah! Ooh.
The fact that they made this an angle, it's like, oh, it was because he's left-handed. Like, it's just like, oh, WCW, what are you doing?
It wouldn't be because he can't wrestle. Is that the reason why? Maybe because he couldn't wrestle. That's why they had arm wrestling left-handed.
He called them buggy whip arms and threatened to send his people dragging down out of the house. Nash actually. This was his last appearance in the Clash of Champions, and then Frozy he caught the eye of you know who.
Yeah, shocking, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Vince McMahon? Come on.
No, Mr. Shawn Michaels.
Oh, that's right. Shawn Michaels saw him first, and he asked for Scott. And then Scott, he asked Rick Steiner for Nash's number. That's what it was.
So, in my favorite cringing, besides Two Cold Score, my other favorite cringing segment, which was Van Hammer was the Renegade before the Renegade. That's awesome. Thank you, Matt Spires.
Yeah.
In the midst of a fake blizzard, Big Van Vader challenges Sting to meet him in the White Castle of Fear match at Super Bowl. Yeah. What the fuck is that?
What are they doing? What were they doing with Vader, man?
He's a world champ.
I understand that, but come on, man. He's putting all these fucking gimmicky scenarios and cringeworthy moments. Come on. It's Vader.
Oh, God damn it. It's gonna get so much better later on in 93 when they start going to like Bash at the Beach. You know, and
his homework, Choppy. Jay's doing his homework.
Him and the Cactus had a phenomenal feud, bro. I love this feud.
I love that feud, him and Sting. All right, so Larry Zbyszko does a video feature. They've had a tournament for the U.S. title because, like I said, Rude was the champion, had to strip him. In the first round, Dustin Rhodes beat Vinny Vegas. Tony Atlas beat Van Hammer. Barry Windham spiked Johnny B. Bed. Ricky Steamboat beat Danny Spivey. Then Rhodes beat Atlas. Steamboat beat Windham in the semifinals. And then Friends Become Foes. Dustin's going to meet the Dragon following Saturday night. And I watched that match, actually.
Me too, yeah.
Dustin wins by countout because Barry Windham comes in and from Greenpoint and cheats. So,
got to love those Greenpoints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jay. Now you have the Z-Man and Johnny Gunn. Johnny Gunn versus the Wrecking Crew.
Are you talking about Salvatore Sincere? Get out of here. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tom Brandy?
Tom.
Hey.
Charlie Joey Numbers Wrestling Soup. Tom Brandy. I'm called Tom Brandy.
A little trivia.
Ooh, a little trivia.
Do you know which one of the brother, which one of the, who's that, the Wrecking Crew? I forget the stupid name, but one of them is related to a certain wrestling family.
Yeah, what do you call it? Fury was Animal's brother.
It was that, yeah. I looked at him, I was like, man, that motherfucker looks familiar. I was like,
that was Animal's brother, younger or older?
And then his partner Rage was, not Marquise Rage, Rage on the team, was formerly the Master Blaster.
Oh, yes. God. Al Green, yeah.
Yeah, Al Green, not the R&B singer.
Yeah. But,
Tom Zinke needed help because Pillman turned on him, so he goes and gets fucking Tom Brandy.
Tom Brandy.
But Jesus, Tom Zinke, I was thinking of it before. Like, that poor guy, like, just excellent worker.
What?
You know? Is he though? Is he?
I think he is.
Excellent worker?
He threw a pretty damn good drop kick.
We're gonna have to have a conversation next year.
Listen. Tom Zank's wrestling ability is as vanilla as fucking vanilla ice cream. All right?
I think that's the problem.
I think Tom Zinke is a poor man's Rick Martel. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. He used to be teams with him.
I know the K&M connection. I know. I'm aware.
But he, I don't know. Like, he had no mic skills, so obviously. But he
really.
He was Mr. Minnesota. That guy, yeah.
Yeah, he was a sexy.
He was also Mr. Personality.
Yeah. Bill Apta couldn't give him an award for that, huh? Yeah.
Mr. Personality of the Year for the Wrestling Observer.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Bill. Hi, I'm Gordon Sully. Now I'm going to give this Mr. Personality Award here to Mr. Minnesota, Tom Zink. Tom, how do you feel about the award?
Why do they always mention that he was a former Mr. Minnesota? That just didn't give him any credibility.
The same thing JR put over Dr. Death as Oklahoma All-American.
But the thing is, that made him look tough.
Tom Zink couldn't work a sock puppet.
Let me get Squire said that. I knew it. I don't know.
You tell it to your opinion, bro. We're going to have a conversation next year.
All right, Deontay. Tell us how good Tom Zinke is.
He threw an excellent dropkick. Z-Man.
Why you start a cracker?
They should put the Z-Man and Zeth. Or was it the Zeth? Who was Zeus's character in WCW?
The Z-Gangster!
The Z-Guys.
Hi, Z-Guys. How's it going, buddies?
Yeah. Tom Zink, Z-Wankster. Oh,
Tom Zink voted great guy in the Penny Saver. I can't, you fucks. I can't take it.
This is more exciting than the actual match itself.
God rest his soul, Tom Zink. No.
Tom, yeah, rest in peace. I mean, he's probably a nice guy, but he just died recently. Yeah.
No, was it Rick Martel said he was a fucking asshole? Fuck him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Martel doesn't do a lot of shoot interviews at all. Rick Martel name drops somebody, you got to be an asshole.
Yeah,
RF shoot video on YouTube is really good. And he says that Rick Martel was such a baby. He was complaining. I remember when WWF came up with a dress code, Rick Martel said, and then fucking Tom Zink was complaining about having to wear slacks instead of wearing jeans.
Hold on, I got a plug for my phone. Hold on.
What a bitch.
Go figure.
Oh, man. So it was the Wrecking Crew who won this match, right?
I thought was kind of like, I kind of didn't see that coming.
It was a backbreaker into an elbow drop kind of scenario.
It was like the Dominator with an elbow drop.
Yes, that's what it was. It was actually a pretty cool move.
Yeah, it was. It actually really was a cool move. The big guys, the Wrecking Crew, one terrible name for a team.
Well, I mean, there was always so many Wrecking Crews. There was the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. There was a Minnesota Stretching Crew. Then they went with just a regular Wrecking Crew. And they didn't even look like a fucking – they looked like they got these guys from, like, Gold's Gym with the fucking get-ups that they had on.
Yeah. I know.
Fucking terrible.
You know, but, you know, but it's funny because like you just like look at you go Johnny Gunn. Like the only like, there was only one, there was like one really good spot in the match where he jumps out on the two guys or whatever, and that was it. This match was, you know, a throwaway match. I guess you were trying to get over the Wrecking Crew, but it fell flat big time. This the next segment I didn't understand at all. You know, kicking the firing Barbarian for being associated with Cactus Jack. Like, I don't
Why would they jump them? Why?
Yeah.
Apparently, because he was associated with Cactus Jack, so Harley Race was like, "You're fired." Mind you, they had a 1-man advantage in the fucking match already as it is, and then at the end of the night, they still lose Ron Simmons. They would have had a 2-man advantage in the fucking match, and then all of a sudden they lose Barbarian, and they end up just having the one. Like, it didn't make any sense towards the main event.
This is the same cage that was used in the fucking Muda JTX versus Sting and Flair match.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. Carry on.
But so they, you know, so they jump Barbarian in the back. Meanwhile, it was funny because like Barbarian grabs, you know, Harley Race in a chokehold, and like he throws a punch at Harley Race, and like both Orndorff and Vader and Windham are like waiting for their cue. It's like it was a little awkward standoff. But then
what's his name gave Barbarian a nice pile driver right in the cement floor.
It did look good. I tell you, Orndorff looked ripped.
Looked great.
His left side looked ripped. I love Orndorff.
Mr. Left Side.
Mr. Left Side only.
Mr. Leftiful.
Mr. Atrophy. Paul Orndorff.
Mr. Atrophy.
Yeah.
All right, so after that, a video package looks back at the highlights of the first of Super Brawls. Zbyszko interviews Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas regarding their title defense.
Steamboat looks svelte with that mullet, man.
How about fucking your boy Shane Douglas looking pretty nice and diesel, huh?
Arguably the best shape I think I've ever seen.
Shane Douglas. If you looked at 96, 97 Shane Douglas, he was jacked.
You looked the second or third incarnation of the Triple Threat, he was jacked to the gills.
If you look at him, Bam Bam, the incarnation of him, Bam Bam Candido, he was jacked. Yeah, bro.
And that's when they first got Francine. Holy shit, he was jacked to the gills.
He was so juiced, it was insane.
But he was, I tell you, great babyface team, Steamboat and Shane Douglas.
I agree. You know what's the sad part is that Steamboat was only getting Douglas was only getting $300 a night, and he was the world tag team champion.
Yeah,
that's insane. And then Ole told him, "Hey, $300 a night is a lot of money back in my day."
Fuck out of
here! But it was funny. Like I was watching the match today. And Table was here, and so I was like, "Oh, look, there's Stone Cold." She couldn't even recognize Steve Austin with hair.
This was only a 30-minute match because of TV time constraints. By the way,
yeah,
match was great.
This was fantastic.
This match, my match of the night.
Yeah, I agree. I think this was my. I think it's also because I love the Hollywood Blondes, and this is before they even really kind of, you know, coined themselves as the Hollywood Blondes. And
best music ever too.
But absolutely.
Not tonight, but
unfortunately, they didn't have it on this night. But this was a good, and then, you know, Pillman hits Shane Douglas with the belt to, you know, cause the DQ and bust himself wide open. And I tell you, Pillman starts whipping Steamboat with the belt. Oh, that looks so killer.
Did you hear the backstory about that?
No.
So I was listening to Shane Douglas' shoot interview about that whole scenario. Apparently, Ricky Steamboat was fucking pissed after that.
I was wondering that.
Furious.
Because he legit whipped him with the fucking belt, man.
And so what happened was Shane said, like, after they got done with that spot where they were getting whipped by the belts, once the camera panned out to them, Steamboat literally jumped up to his feet, no sold the belt, once the cameras were off. He no-sold everything. He walked straight back and cursed him the fuck out right in front of management and everybody. Dude, it was real, some stiff fucking shots with those belts, dude.
Oh, I agree. So, but I to me, match of the night.
I agree.
This went 13 minutes. It was a solid 13 minutes, by the way.
Should have went longer.
Absolutely. Should have went longer. But then they have, I think they have a rematch later on. I think this is where they win the belts, right? Don't the rematch the from these guys?
The rematch is when they get the belts, and once they win the belts, that's when they coin themselves the Hollywood Blondes after they win the belts.
Yeah. But so, the next match is our main event, the Thunder Cage.
The Thunder Cage. I'm sorry.
Thunderdome, Thunder shit. It was fucking terrible.
Van Vader, Greenpoint Barry, which is episode 319 of Turnbuckle Throwback, 318. That's when Lee Champion Double A fought on air about if Kendall Windham was a horseman. And Choppy told everybody that Barry looked like a Down syndrome Polish person from Greenpoint, Brooklyn. I played that episode this morning on the way to work, and I was like in tears.
I don't know where it just popped into my head. Doesn't he look like a Polish woman with Down syndrome from Greenpoint, Brooklyn?
The best is when Lee gets on, he's just shit talking. Double A jumps right in there, and they go neck for neck. It was hysterical. You guys should go back and listen to that. It's pretty good.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. All right. So this is basically Hell in a Cell kind of thing with the, like I said, the electric cage that they use for fucking J-Tax versus Sting and Flair.
Yeah.
So it's Barry, it's Greenpoint Barry, Paul Orndorff, and Vader versus Dustin Rhodes and Sting, basically.
It's so stupid. It's so dumb. And what's even worse is that, like, they have, again, like I said before, they have a two-man advantage.
Tag rules, by the way.
Yeah, tag rules. Because that makes fucking sense.
In a cage match.
And
he says, there's no disqualification in the Thunderdome cage.
No shit.
It's a fucking cage match, you asshat. And then it's like, you can come as you are. You think? It's a fucking...
Yeah. Come as you are like Kurt Cobain. Get the fuck out of here, man. I tell you, this match was terribly booked. Until Cactus Jack came in there.
Cactus saved this match.
He did.
Yeah, I agree.
Cactus Jack saved this match. He's my MVP. He's my MVP of the night.
He fucking whacked the shit out of Orndorff with that fucking boot, and that was the best part of the whole match for me.
I absolutely agree. But he, this really kind of cemented Cactus Jack as a super babyface. And, you know, granted,
who should have won the world title from Vader, mind you? He should have won the world title.
He should have. Using past eyes, you know, at this point. I think that's kind of the problem. Listen, Vader was a massive star in Japan, huge star in WCW. But, you know, to have a monster heel, you need a big baby face to take down. And Vader never did that many jobs. You know, so I think ultimately kind of hurt him in the long run.
But you want to know something? Cactus made it look you know what it is about Cactus? Cactus made it look like he was a threat to Vader because he was about the same weight and the same size as Vader. So, like, if you put a guy like Sting up against Vader, Sting looks like he's the underdog. But if you could put a guy like Cactus against Vader, there's no underdog in that situation.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I love that.
Like you said, and then we know where they're going. They're doing the White Castle of Fear strap match.
Fucking terrible.
I think they're doing it next month, which I'd like to do that one. I think we're gonna put that in the rotation. 1993 is a nothing happening year. The only good thing about it, in WCW wise, is they start doing those movies, and to me, I love those like homemade movies or what have you. I think they're really, really, really funny, and the acting is terrible, you know. But
it's just as bad as the Too Cold Scorpio vignette.
Oh, I can't wait. But But, like, you know, like I said, it's kind of like a nothing happening year. So, it, you know, and then Flair comes back. He starts to come back, I think, late winter in 93. And he starts doing a Flair for the gold, you know. And then
what about the promo that Cactus cut after the commercial break?
The promo that he did with Jim Ross.
It was he actually has to fight Paul Orndorff that Saturday night.
Yeah, he sets up the match for Saturday night at 6:05 on Saturday, and then
he's climbing the cage.
And getting the crowd riled up. I'm sorry, Jay, I didn't mean to cut you off. I totally forgot about that. But yeah, you're saying about Flair coming back.
Yeah, they start doing the Flair for the gold, and you know that's where the infamous Shockmaster, you know, debuts. And
what about the blondes against Flair and Anderson in the Flair for the gold? And we see Fifi. We get to see Fifi for the first time, who's now married to Ric Flair.
Future Mrs. Flair.
Fifi.
She'll be the fourth Flair.
She was a hot piece of ass too, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fifi.
But
Fifi can get it.
Overall, you know, the tag titles match really kind of saved the show. Benoit Armstrong was awesome.
Yep.
You know, they tried their best. You know, the
talent was there. It's just the booking was so bad.
Booking was pretty bad. It was pretty you know, wonky at best.
Wonky. I like that. It's wonky. Yeah. I like it. I like it, Jay.
Wonky, just like Orndorff's arm. Absolutely.
Oh.
Mr. Wonkerful?
So good.
Mr. Wonkerful. Mr. Number One Arm. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Only film me on the left side, please.
Peek me like you do the French girls. Peek me like you do the French girls.
Mr. Gimp himself.
I love Paul Orndorff, but you know, funny is funny.
Orndorff was my favorite wrestler until I discovered NWA. So
yeah.
Best pile driver I've ever seen, honestly.
100%. 100%. He had the best pile driver ever.
And if anyone tells me that Jerry Lawler's is better, they're fucking smoking shit.
Yeah, you know what I'm gonna tell him?
There you go.
That's exactly what I'm going to tell
you. I tell you right now, Orndorff had the best pile driver of all time. I don't care what anyone says.
I agree.
I agree, Chops. I agree.
Thank you.
Well, that was Clash of the Champions 22.
Oof.
End to 2020, which was a pretty awful and great year at the same time for some of us. And instead of ending it with the music tonight, I'm going to play a 3-minute clip from an old DJ from WCBS FM in New York City called Harry Harrison. He made a New Year's song called "May You Always," and just to get the fucking nasty vibes out of the year, and just it's been death and despair and disease and fucking we had to move during this. Chops had to move. I had to move. We quarantined for half the year. We did this Zoom shit for like a half a year almost. And
my kid was in the hospital for half of the year too. So it was just like it was
sick children. I lost several friends. My friends lost family. They lost spouses. They lost parents. My friend just lost her father tonight. And I got a friend on a ventilator right now, a childhood friend, in Arizona. From the Rona. I had another friend who just passed away from a heart attack, 48 years old last week. Like, it's just death and despair every other fucking week. I just want to get this year over with. I'm not saying next year's going to be better. We're going to have to make it better.
That's exactly.
21 going to have to make it better, you know?
Yeah, I think that despite the way we've handle 2020. I think what we did was like we learned from 2020 and now we're going to do better for 2021. I think that if we have a more positive mindset and try to instead of bitching and moaning about wearing these masks, let's make the best of it and just be better people and stop complaining all the fucking time. Because honestly, when people were saying that 2019 was the worst year, I tell you right now, it could always be a lot worse. So just make the best of it. And it got worse.
And it did.
and just make the best of it, man. And just make the best of it and always be having a more optimistic mindset and stop being so damn pessimistic is what we have to do.
Let's first and foremost do some shout outs to everybody. Let's thank Ranty M Double A and the crew. Yep. Let's thank of our brothers, the Shining Wizards, who've been looking out for us the entire fucking time, this year included, even up to tonight. Doing the right thing always by us. We love them to death. Jimmy's doing big things with Dark Satellite Media. And the fans, man, thank you all for just hanging out with us every week. Thank you for sticking by us. Thank you for all your kind words and your encouragement. And I got to tell you, man, this is the only thing that kept us going the entire year. I mean, we have our family, we have each other, we have our friends. So us three as a collective, we have a really good core of positive people around us, friends and family, and you know. So it's like we're not always going without, but it's been a struggle sometimes just to come on the air with all the shit that was going on. You know, mm-hmm. At one point I was working fucking 60 hours a week. And yeah. I was just like, and my office was a makeshift morgue. So I was coming home just like a zombie. And the only thing I was doing was this. I was doing the throwback. There was no baseball. And it came back in July. There was nothing. Nothing was normal. Nothing in my life was normal except for Turnbuckle Throwbacks. So at least we have that eighth going on ninth year now, next year. And we're going to just keep bringing it, man. We're going to bring it, and we're going to fucking kill it. And I don't know what else to say. I'll end it with the song. And you guys have anything else you want to say before we head out of here? And just, you know.
No, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody's family. Everybody stay safe, you know, and enjoy. Like you said, let's stay positive. And if we keep positive, positive things will happen.
Yep. Yep.
Just a happy new year. Everyone be safe, stay healthy, and just be more positive, and hopefully everything will get better. That's all we can do.
Be positive. Be mindful. Like Choppy said, be mindful. Be a good fucking human. Do stuff because you want to do it from your heart.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? And be a good fucking human. You can do it. It's not that hard. You know? It just takes a little bit of common sense and some soul. You know what I'm saying? Fucking do it. Don't be a douche. All right. Don't be a fucking don't be a mook. All right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, on that note, have a wonderful and blessed New Year. We're back first week of January with fucking Wrestle Kingdom 2 days, yeah. And then we have a ton of shows for you in January. Including the birthday boy gets his fucking throwback at the end of the month with the Royal Rumble. So we're going to it's Mania season. How about that? Yep. So a month away from Mania season. How about that? And Choppy's birthday. I love cake. I'm a fat kid who loves cake. I'm Addie. Guys, I love you guys. We love you guys to death. Please be safe. Like I said, be careful. Take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't be a jerk off and be mindful. And you guys have a great new year yourselves. And we'll see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Adios. Absolutely.
Say goodnight, Gracies.
Good night, Gracie.
That's the holiday bell tolling, sweethearts kiss, and old hands touch and warm each other against the year ahead. We always saw not the biggest and best of life, but the small pleasures that make living worthwhile. Sometime during the new year, to keep your heart in practice, we'll do something a secret good deed and not get caught at it. May you find a little hour of time to read that book, to write that letter, and to visit that lonely friend on the other side of town. May your next do-it-yourself project not look like you did it yourself. May the poor relatives you help support remember you when they win the sweepstakes. May your best card tricks win admiring guests and your worst puns admiring bros. May all those who told you so refrain from saying I told you so, knowing some important speech when you pause to let your words sink in and light a cigarette to punctuate that pause, may it not light the filter end. May all the predictions you've made for your firstborn's future come true. May just half of those optimistic predictions that your high school annual made for you come true. In a time of sink or swim, may you find you can walk the shore before you call the lifeguard. May you keep against one idea you can pass on to your kids. May it change some rainy day when you're a few minutes late. May your train or bus be waiting for you. May you accidentally overhear someone saying something nice about you. If you run into an old school chum, you will remember each other's names for introductions. If you order your steak medium rare, may it be so. And if you're on a diet, may someone tell you, you've lost some of the weight without knowing you're on a diet. May that be your home and blow your mind. You're talking about a telephone call that you've been waiting for. When you reach into the coin slot, may you find the coin that you lost on your last phone number. When you trip and fall, may there be no one watching to laugh at you or feel sorry for you. And sometime soon, may you be waved to by a celebrity, wagged at by a puppy, run to by a happy child, and counted on by someone you love. Never this, never, I wish you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.